Very good evening to all. Today is Tuesday, 29 January 2019. So Tuesday class will be the last class before the Chinese New Year. So we will have a good sharing. Joyce will be coming too. He will be a bit late. Anyway, we can get ourselves prepared. Develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Okay. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô A Di Đà Phật. Nam mô A Di Đà Phật. Nam mô A Di Đà Phật. Namo Milo Pho, Namo Milo Pho, Namo Milo Pho, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa, Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa, Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa, Namo Pho Pusa.Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. A ra hăng samma sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Svakkhato bhagavata dhammoDhammang namassami Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Sanghang namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn the page one of the chanting book, right?We shall chant the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa BhagavatoArahato Samma Sambuddhassa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang GacchamiDutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang GacchamiPanati pata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyamiMusawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Suramiraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Now we are chanting the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna sarapaditenaDipena tamadangsina Tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonodang Ganda sambarayutena Dopenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bhajana mutamang Vanna ganda gonopetang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindas Siripada saroruhe Pujemi bhutang Sumenanena Punnena mattena cha hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water, the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide. To the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. You all can be seated. Then we can have our half an hour of formal silent meditation. I will set the alarm now. We are off the light. Then you all can proceed with the meditation straight away. Okay. As usual, for those who already know how to meditate, you just straight away go into your meditation. The key for good progress are the four support. Relax, maintain awareness. For as long as you can, your awareness or stability or mindfulness must be there for you to develop the progress and the understanding. Without a stable awareness or mindfulness, it's very difficult to understand the Dhamma, to penetrate the Dhamma. So just relax, aware, silent. By now, most of you should have developed some form of spiritual faculty. A choice. If you have the stability of mindfulness, you can just silent, relax, and the meditative state will be there. If your stability is not that stable, then there is some form of thinking that can arise, which is very normal. You just let it arise, no need to do anything. The real meditation is the silent, without any doing, without any arising of thought. So you just maintain silent to allow the mind to return to its original state of stillness, opacity. The silent mind, the meditative mind, and that mind that is in the state of sati, very stable, is the meditative mind. When there is no thought, no movement, that is your true mind. It's just aware, nothing else. So stabilize it, develop the ability to be aware, then use that to meditate, to understand things. When you are in that state, don't try to know anything. Just maintain the silence, the awareness. Then after that, for those who have progressed further, you can detect your gateway, your true nature. You just trust that nature to develop the meditation. Relax, silent, and stay around the heart area. Then let it detect the gateway. When it detects the gateway, all your whatever energy that you have developed through your cultivation, they will start to melt inside your gateway. Then as it goes through your gateway, it will develop a type of flow which is very soothing. This flow is the flow of pure energy. Because whatever energy that goes through the gateway is purified into pure energy. And this is the one that can transform your internal movement. The thing is really intelligent. It knows what to do. So it will do what it needs to do. So that pure energy will activate and move your internal movement. Then after that, through your awareness, you will know what happened. A lot of things will happen. This is the internal movement. But when you are not so stable, when you cannot go in, you just stay outside, no problem. Maintain awareness, silent. Then you develop the understanding of mind, how the mundane mind come to be, how it arises, and how is the how it actually create movement. Your sense door, they are part of your physical body. So when your mind is just aware and silent, it can detect whatever arising of consciousness that happens. Then any other sense data, when they imprint against your sense data, your sense organ, it will trigger off the respective sense or consciousness. So initially you just allow it to arise, then it will drop back. You don't give it any more meaning, it will drop back. But if your habitual tendency is still there, how you lashes onto it, or how you entangle yourself with it, and how you stir your mind, you can see them all. So all this will give you the understanding of who you are, what you are. Then later on, when you are very stable, you will start to understand what the Buddha mean by all of sankhara, they are dependent originating. Upon contact, consciousness arise, then the content of consciousness will go in. Then all the movement depend on your views and opinion. So all this, you will start to see there's nobody inside actually. But there is a mundane mind that is conditioned, that has wrong view before it's enlightened and awakened. So that one is the one that caused your mind to stir and react. So all this you will investigate into it, and you will understand it very clearly. This is the final result of good meditation. When you have developed it properly, correctly, you will understand. So meditation is not about doing. The doing actually activate the thought. The real meditation is a complete silent aware. When you are choicelessly aware, silent, without any motive or what, without trying to know anything, that is the true meditation. In that silence, the awareness can understand many things. It can awaken to many phenomena that arise and pass away. You will start to understand how things arise, how things sustain itself, and how things cease, when conditions cease to be. Then there is this awareness within the essence of mind. That is the one that can see everything, understand everything. Okay, I will let you continue your meditation. Then when the 30 minutes is up, I will ring the bell. Thank you. anyone else still want to meditate, you can continue. For those that are enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahaṃ sammā sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sārati Satta deva manusana Buddho Bhagavati Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Vediteyatmo Venohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakeneyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuttarom Punyaketam Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect, Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Just relax yourself. Maintain some form of attention. Then we will continue with our chapter 25, Paticca Samuppada. The Buddha and his teaching, page 419. Before that, I think I got a Krishnamurti note. I will pass you the Krishnamurti note, then we can just go through it quickly. You and nothingness are one. This is a very good Krishnamurti note. Enough that. Not enough. We still have here. Yeah. Enough? Yeah. Pass it on. Yeah. I think it's enough. Yeah. Come. Yeah. This J. Krishnamurti note is very important. It is exactly the same as the Buddha's teaching on anatta. Empty nature existence, or what they call anatta nature. It's mainly related to emptiness, but Krishnamurti used the word nothingness. You are actually nothing. You are nobody. So you and nothingness are one. According to J. Krishnamurti, you are nothing. You may have your name and title. Most people are very proud of their so-called famous name, then their title. Maybe they are the their profession, professor, or even Dato Tan Sri. And sometimes they are ministers, prime ministers, then great leaders and all those things, and famous scientists. So you may have your name and title, your property, your wealth, and your bank account. You may have power, authority, and be famous. But in spite of all these safeguards, actually human beings rely on all those things as safeguards to make you feel that you are somebody or something. Then to have that financial freedom, the authority, the power, to do what you want. He said, in spite of all this safeguard, you are still nothing. You may be totally unaware of this emptiness or this nothingness. Or you may simply not want to be aware of it. PJ, come. Oh, this one you have, nothingness. J. Krishnamurti, good. Never mind, you can borrow it first. So according to J. Krishnamurti, he said, you may try to escape from it in devious way through personal or collective violence, through individual or collective worship, through knowledge or amusement, But whether you are awake or asleep, it is always there. There is the fact. You are nothing. Nothingness. You can come upon your relationship to this nothingness and its fear only by choicelessly aware of the escape. So this is the only way to find out. Yeah. You must be in the state of awareness. But this awareness must not be with a motive. Yeah. Means the mind is involved. Yeah. The awareness that is without motive, without choice, is just aware. That's why in the meditation, don't try to know. That is the reason. Just aware. Then that nature will understand. So this nothingness, who are you and what are you? You can only come to it and understand it by being choicelessly aware of the escape. So this relationship of nothingness and its fear, that's why because of fear that you really are nothing. You create all the various comfort zone, or what Krishnamurti said, escapes. So that you feel you are something, somebody. You are not related to it as a separate individual entity. You are not the observer watching it. This one is very, very important. A lot of cultivator doesn't understand. They ask you to observe, to note. Then sometimes in the Thai tradition, stay with the knower. That one all are very dangerous instruction. When you don't understand, you can get trapped. It is not the mind that is aware, that is thought-based. It is not the meditator that meditate, that is also thought-based. Your thought will create all this. So, you have to silence your mind to realize that there is no observer. The observer and the observed is actually one. So Krishnamurti said, you are not the observer watching it. But without you, which is the thinker or the thought, the observer, it is not. You understand this sentence? Without the observer, you are nothing. You understand? The thing that you observe, what is it? What do you observe? Through your perception, isn't it? True or not? When you perceive something, you observe, isn't it? Who is the observer that observes that thing? It's still the thought, isn't it? The thought observing the thought, isn't it? That's why you are not separate. There is no observer observing. Because without the observer, there is no perception. Do you see that? Do you see that point or not? What is the observer? The observer is the thought, isn't it? The thought got the five aggregate, isn't it? And what is the one that brings the external form into the mind? It's your perception, isn't it? So without the observer, without the thought, there is no what they call perception. There is no thing for you to perceive. So whatever you observe can only come about when the thought is there. That's why the observer is the observed. They are not two separate entities. Self-delusion, sakkayaditti, means you separate the two. You think you are different. There is a being who see, who hear, who smell, who taste, who tactile, feel anything. And you believe there is a I, the Atta. And you call that the thinker, the observer. This is where Sakkaya Ditti sets in. And that is the cause of suffering. So Krishnamurti put it in a very good and clear way. He said, you and nothingness are one. You and nothingness are a joint phenomenon, not two separate processes. If you, the thinker, are afraid of it and approach it as something contrary or opposed to you, then any action you may take towards it must inevitably lead to illusion and so to further conflict and misery. Because you fail to understand that they are not separate, they are one joint phenomenon. When you understand the observer is the observed, then there is no one inside there. You understand or not? There is no one inside there to see, to hear, to smell, to taste. It's just dependent originating, like what the Buddha said, like the physics experiment. Upon contact, the light bulb just light up naturally. Yeah? So that part is very important. If you don't see it in your meditation, you will be deceived. Sakkaya Ditti will be there. Self-delusion will be there. When there is the discovery, the experiencing of that nothingness as you, now this is the most important. This is what meditation is all about. When you realize that you are nothing, you are nobody, what happened to you? Huh? What happened to you? When you are nothing, nobody, your egoic self is gone, isn't it? Your Sakkaya Ditti is gone, isn't it? Then you got no more problem, isn't it? There is only the form and mind. He know you, he know me. That's why this is karmically conditioned for you to come. The five aggregate of form and mind is impermanent, lead to suffering, empty, non-self, not you. You will see them very clearly. You will come to it through the awareness which awakens your nature. The awareness, the moment it awakens, then you realize you are nothing. You are nobody. That whole thing is not you. That phenomenal world of consciousness, that form and mind, it is not what you think, not real. That's why empty nature or existence. Then you realize no one born, no one die, no one sick, no one old. There is nobody to get angry and emotional. There is no one to be fearful. Then you realize through the awareness, fear come and go. Anger come and go. You didn't die. Then how can fear be you? How can anger be you? How can delusion be you? How can that form and mind be you? So instead of putting it in clear-cut manner like the Buddha's teaching, Krishnamurti just wants you to understand that you are nothing. And nothingness and you are not separate. So when there is the discovery, the experiencing of that nothingness as you, then what happened? He said, then fear which exists only when the thinker is separate from the thought. Means when you separate, then there is fear. Because you think you are different. Understand? You fear what? You think the body is you. You fear getting old, getting sick and die. You fear having unpleasant feeling. You think feeling is you. You fear losing your loved one, all this. So this is what Dhamma is all about. So Krishnamurti put it in a very different way, but very beautiful. If you can understand the Dhamma, you will understand what he said. That's why he said, when there is this discovery, the experiencing of that nothingness as you, then your fear which exists only when the thinker is separated from his thought. You know the meaning in that thinker separated from his thought. Where you think there is a thinker behind the thought. There is no thinker. the thought thing itself. Your thought is response to memory. And that one you have to see clearly. So tries to establish a relationship with them. Completely drop away. That's why this fear straight away no more. Because there is nobody there to fear. There is no more delusion. You see clearly, it's just the consciousness and its content. They are a joint phenomenon. There is no separate entity that observe or think. This is a very profound understanding. But you need to be in the deep state of silence. The awareness has to be very stable to really understand. That's why he used the word choiceless awareness. Whereas I use the word don't try to know. Just silent. Stabilize it. And that is what heedfulness is all about. The Buddha said the heedful never die. To be heedful means to be ever mindful. The mindfulness is very stable. Then you use it to cultivate noble eightfold path. Okay, we finish. Yeah. Do you have any question related to this J. Krishnamurti code? Where's the rubber band? Oh, here. Never mind. It's okay. I just want to put it back. Anybody got any question? Clear or not? Use the mic, Adeline. Pass the mic there. Just push it up. Yes. Yeah. Speak. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Push it out all the way. Oh, sorry, didn't tighten. Yeah. I always loosen it. I forgot to tell you. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Can I share an meditation experience in
What Now? Go ahead. Sado.
During that day, we have a long session. First 9 days was all theory. We have a very short session of meditation.
Oh, okay.
So, on that, I think on the 9 or 10 days, I couldn't remember. That morning we have a long session, about 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. Started with standing meditation, the walking, which is not my style. I just did it very short. We have all the freedom. So after that, I just sat on the chair. We have all the body ache after the days of cheery.
Correct.
But that day, I have a very good, the mind is in the total stillness. Okay, so I sit very still. You don't feel any pain. Stillness. Then after that, you just something like emptiness. It's totally. I mean, it's like what is explained here. There's nothingness.
Correct.
So in that state
you,
of mind,
you can have the understanding that this form of mind is completely empty, nothing. Because your awareness is such that it understands. When the egoic mind is not there, it has that understanding. Really empty, really you are nothing. And all these are dependent originating things. Even your physical body and your mind, they interact. And because they interact, the combined, compounded entity, you know, this one is not you. Nothing. Then the awareness is just aware. It's not a being. It cannot come out. Very good. The understanding, if it can come out, is very good. Then what happened after
it's
that?
It's like, you understand that there's nothing to achieve in that state.
Yeah.
Totally, you understand, you understand totally what emptiness.
Correct. Yeah.
So in that state, you're just very still.
Yes. Yeah.
There's no hindrance. Hindrance have no power over you.
No power for you.
And then there's no five aggregates.
Yeah,
no senses.
Completely.
All your senses is
everything
like...
Everything is no more.
Very clear. Just consciousness.
Yeah. It's just awareness.
Yeah.
Still inside there. Yeah.
And
if there is no arising, no movement, there is no mundane mind also. Yeah. Even if there is a arising of this thought, but this thought is very fine without the aggregates, because of the stillness, the silence, the awareness within, the samadhi, the sati, the spiritual faculty, they are very, very still. Tranquility, very good. Sadhu.
And that's in that stage, you just don't want to
understand.
I mean, you
no
understand,
need to know
but
anything.
No thoughts, nothing. Yeah.
No
nothing
need
to
know
disturb
anything.
You. Don't,
Don't
need
just,
to know anything.
It's just like inside there, there is no fear, nothing. And your understanding there is very different. But this understanding is not from the memory, it's not from the thought, it's from the awareness that understands. Through that transformation that happened. Sadhu, very good.
So, I think I sat there for 1 hour plus, almost close to 2 hours.
Oh, very
so
good. Sadhu.
It's totally relaxed.
Yeah.
So, after that, it came out. You can understand, hey, this is what we understand by no thoughts.
Yeah. Correct.
No mark, no thought, nothing.
No dwelling.
Your mind don't dwell
at
all. Finally,
just,
I understand.
It's just the awareness. Sadhu. Yeah, let us rejoice. Sadhu. This is what meditation can transform and bring about that understanding. That's why you don't get it right. You cannot have that understanding. Because that understanding comes when the mind transforms. When the mind have that ability to be in that state of transformed nature, then in that state, the form and mind that is connected to it will understand what that thing is. If the form and mind is not connected to it, it cannot understand. Because this nature is nothing actually. It's just that nature, awareness, stillness, tranquility, the true mind, the true nature. That's the reason why when Hui Ning, he went to the fifth patriarch, when the fifth patriarch expounded to him on the Diamond Sutta, when he reached the part, this mind, you must learn how to use it, but not be deluded by it. He came to great awakening. Then he said, how amazing is it? Everything arises from the mind, from this nature. Nothing is apart from this nature. It is complete by itself. That's why when you realize that nature, you realize your true mind. That is the real awakening. Yeah. Then later on, after he left, Hui Ning left, then this Hui Ming, Shen Xiu's, I think, chief disciple or what, he was very, very fierce and very powerful. Then he chased after Hui Ning, and he was the first to actually catch up with him. But when he catch up with him, Hui Ning was, at that time, I think, there was a group of robbers. A group of robbers that wanted to rob him. So when he saw Hui Ning was about to be robbed, he helped Hui Ning actually. He managed to kill some of the robber, then left with I think the leader and one or two. Then Hui Ning said, please don't kill, you cannot kill, he said, just let them go. Then they left. That's why later on when he was with the hunters, when there is a group of robber that come and rob them and like want to take over their village and their possession, it so happened it was the same guy whom Hui Ning actually appealed to Hui Ming not to kill him. That's why when he saw him, he stopped and he immediately kneeled down. That's why everybody stopped. Then that tribe survived. That's how he became famous and he came up. But what is important is later on, Hui Ming say, I'm here to actually get back the rope and the path so that my senior, Shen Xiu, can be the rightful patriarch. You know what Hui Ming told him or not? Yeah? The rope and the butt is there, is it? You want, you can take it. Yeah. And according to the video, he can't remove the butt. Somehow the butt, he cannot remove. The rope, he held it in his hand. Then Hui Ming told him, even if you can remove the butt, what is the use? He said, what he inherited from the fifth patriarch is not just the butt and the rope. This is the insignia to prove that he is the one who received the transmission. But the real thing that was transmitted to him is not the butt and the rope. It's the Dhamma. And Hui Ming was very curious. He said, in that case, can you let me have the understanding of the Dhamma that was transmitted? And you know what Hui Ming told him or not? Very simple, no? In two sentences. No? He said, according to the fifth patriarch, he who realized the true nature, the true mind, he is the Buddha. Ah, that's it. Then Hui Ming asked him, no? So simple? That's it? Yeah? He said, that's it. And Hui Ming told him, when he heard that, he came to great awakening. Yeah. That's why after that, Hui Ming knew, you cannot take away that which is so profound. That's why he told Hui Ming, I will not take the rope, I will not take the butt, but I want you to promise me, he said, take me across when the time comes. He only asked for that. Then Hui Ming thanked him and left. Yeah. But finally he came and met Hui Ming, the sixth patriarch later on. Yeah, this Hui Ming came. Yeah. So the story was very beautiful. So when the other monk catch up with Hui Ming, Hui Ming actually lied. He said, I didn't see the sixth patriarch, but I saw a group of robbers going that way. I think he must have gone that way. That's how Hui Ming escaped. So realizing that true mind, that true nature is very, very powerful. That is what awakening is all about. But that one is not easy. Yeah. That's why your daily mindfulness you have developed earlier on. Otherwise, you cannot do it. Yeah. Really sadhu. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you for the good sharing. Eh? Evelyn.
And after that, when we chant Heart Sutta,
the
state is everything. Like
correct. All the meaning, the understanding, you understand. The Heart Sutta's profound, deep meaning, all you understand. Because the nature that is awakened will have the understanding. Otherwise, you cannot. Then all this would become like, suddenly, everything is so clear. That's why the real meditation is not what people think. It's completely different from what people think. Very good. Anything else? Sadhu. Yeah, because later on you have to stabilize it. Like I say, there are two parts. The path and the friction. The friction part take time because that one you need. Unless your past cultivation is there, then straight away you will pass through very fast. But the friction one, you don't worry. You reflect, you contemplate from now onward. Everything will become very clear. Then you can confront things, no more problem. Yeah. Then your understanding is already there. Don't try to remember anything. It will understand. It will know how to act. It will know how to do things. But you have to stabilize this understanding through your daily mindfulness, through all the daily activity that you do in life, through everything that you experience as you live life. Then after that, when your daily mindfulness becomes very, very stable, then this daily mindfulness will actually give you the actual insight. The actual insight. This one you do it through an understanding. the understanding bring about that tranquility and the stillness where you were at a retreat, which they create very conducive condition, and you already developed the daily mindfulness 2 years ago. That's why you are very determined, and you already have the basic understanding of the teaching behind because of your daily mindfulness and your earlier condition. So all this bring about the condition for it to happen. But when it happens, it's just that moment, that instant, which is good enough. Well, after that, you no need to remember. That understanding is connected to your form and mind. It will understand. But you cannot remember as memory. That's why sometimes when ask you to suddenly explain or share or teach people, you still don't have that stability. But you will know what that thing is. You will understand what emptiness is, except you cannot put it into words. But when you hear truth, like Krishnamurti quote or what I share, you will understand. You will have a very, very profound understanding, and there's a lot of joy, a lot of gratitude, a lot of what they call I don't know what English word to use. This insight here, not only joy, you know, it's like combination of what they call gratitude, joy. It is like very, very deep very deep inside you, that you have the condition to understand all these things.
Last time, Jay Krishnamurti's quote is like aliens to me. I don't know what all the words I cannot understand.
But now it becomes so clear. Now it becomes so clear. Give to Vincent. Vincent, I want to ask something. Vincent. Yes.
When there is discovery, the experiencing of that nothingness as then this one important. Then fear will exist only when the thinker is separate from his thoughts.
Yes.
Can the thinker be separate from the thoughts?
Do you know why you ask that? Well, to you, there is a thinker behind the thought. Because you separate it through your own delusion, lack of understanding. Where you use logic. You think, for you to have thought, there must be a thinker. True or not?
Roger, I have to mention this. The thinker comes from physically the human body.
No.
I mean, if a person...
Wait. You can continue. You continue first after I explain to you.
From a physical body.
No.
And it's...
The thinker is a concept created by thought.
Yes. But still, it's alive.
No. There is
can
no
thinker.
Can a person
who is not around a diseased person think?
Why cannot think? Huh? As long as he's got brain, memory.
No, it's already diseased.
No, it's not he think. It's not he think, no. It's respond to memory. Understand? Thought is respond to memory. Then sometimes it's the karmic conditioning. The karmic conditioning come in. Understand or not? Then the karmic consciousness take over. There is still thinking, but it's karmically conditioned.
Yes,
do you know what is thought or not?
It still exists within that person.
No, there is no thinker. The thought thing itself. You can understand that word or not? The thought thing itself.
I understand what you're saying. Basically, the thing itself, you cannot just come out and think something, but still inside the brain.
No, everything that you think is not a thinker behind. It's the consciousness and the brain and your conditioning. Understand or not?
Yes.
Thought is respond to this. That's why, as a baby before you are born, when you don't have memory, is there any thought? You don't have any thought. But when you accumulate, when you have memory, then thought arise. Do you know why you cannot create thought? If you don't know what this thing is, let's say this one happened to be a chair. Let's say there is something that people make, you never see before, you never have any knowledge of it. Then I ask you to tell me what is it. You cannot. You cannot use word. No word means you cannot create a thought to describe that thing. Do you understand? That's why it has to come from memory. That's why thought is respond to memory. And thought is the past. Because it's your accumulated experiences, which is memory. Thought is never the unknown. Thought is never new. Thought is always the known. The field of thought is always within the known. From memory it arises. And for you to realize that statement that he mentioned, when you can come upon that experience that you are nothing, you have to be in the state what she went through, Adeline. Complete stillness, silent, everything. No movement, nothing. You must realize that true nature. Then you realize thought is dependent originating. Thought was never you. Everything that arises is just an automatic, like physics experiment. When the switch is on, what happens? The light bulb light up in there. Correct or not? Means you become conscious. At the moment of consciousness, the Buddha said in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. It's just the consciousness. It becomes conscious. So when you are very mindful, when you are in the state of stillness, you can understand that. Because you can see the awareness. Then you can see how your brain, your views, your opinion, your cornea, how it input the content. How it goes in. Then how it becomes the thought. Then if there is no delusion, there is no stirring, there is no movement. That's why she can be in that state of stillness. But the human mind cannot. The mundane mind think a lot, stir, move very fast, have fear, emotional, project. So you can never realize a state where there is no thinker. Because the mundane mind that is without the awareness cannot be in that state. But when you have that condition to realize that state, then you realize there is no observer. Everything is just the awareness. Understand not? You know what is awareness, isn't it? Before the knowing. Like the seeing consciousness. It's just conscious of seeing before you perceive. The moment you perceive, the mundane mind come out already. The thought come out already. Yeah. So the awareness. Then you realize thought is just the awareness with its content. There is no thinker. There is nobody behind. Understand that? Like the physics experiment. You need a God to create that consciousness or not. That lighting up of the bulb or not. No need, isn't it? It's nature's law, isn't it? So we got the senses, we got the consciousness, we got sense data upon contact. It's just like that light bulb become bright. So it's like you become conscious of what you see, conscious of what you hear. But before the content went in, it's not a thought. Then you realize, nobody inside there. But how come when the content went in, you think there is a thinker? Well, your content is a conditioned memory. Understand? Your views, your opinion, your condition. And this one more the thinker. This one more the ego. The personality. Can follow. If you use thought, you can never follow. So don't try to know now. Because when you use thought, you can never. Because this one is beyond thought. You have to be in that state of mindfulness, awareness. Otherwise, you can't. Don't think too hard. Because the thought cannot penetrate this. I know you are trying your very best to use your logic, your knowledge, your whatever understanding. But to you, at this moment, you always will have this idea. It's like you say, the thinker is inside you. How do I, how can thought come out? Which is very logical, yeah. Without the thinker, how can there be a thought? Yeah. No. Consciousness is separate from the few human body. Consciousness is just consciousness. No. If the person is dead, the consciousness has to come out. Then there is no thought, understand? The consciousness has to come out. But as long as the consciousness is there, he is not dead, there is a memory, it can create thought. You understand? Then sometimes karma takes over. It becomes karmic consciousness. He is not conscious. It becomes karmic consciousness. Because karma takes over. So when people about to die, that's why they change personality. They say, Lao Han Xiong. Means that form of mind doesn't know what is going on. Then sometimes they tend to say they see the deceased people. Who is coming to visit me? Who is coming to visit me? I saw this. Then like Auntie Tan's case, where she do a lot of katina, the habitual thing, then she will be in that karmic consciousness. Katina here, katina there, everywhere. Katina, dana and katina, both. At that time, I was in Brickfield. I heard the message, came back. Dana and katina, both. So that was the habitual thing that she do. She do a lot, and she do with joy. So when the karmic consciousness come, close proximity karma means the thing that you like to do, you always do, that one will take precedence. Close proximity karma, that one will come in. But if you have the five heavy karma, they call it what? The five heavy karma is what? What is the word? No, I know. What is the word? There's a word. There's a Pali word for it. The five heavy karma. What type of karma? There's a word for it. So when you have this five type of heavy karma, then the close proximity karma won't take over. That one take precedence. The five heavy karma, straight away you go down. You got no chance to take other birth. Straight away you go down. But if you don't have that, then the next one is close proximity karma. Means thing that you habitually do. Yeah. And you habitually do one can be negative and positive one. So that one will tend to take precedence. Then if that one you don't have, then your whatever karma that you did before, if it is still not completely ripened, then it will ripen again. Just like that, there is one person. He's got a student who actually came and see the Buddha and told the Buddha every life you slaughter, and offer to King Sakha. Then after you die, you will be born up there. So what happened was, when the Buddha checked, the Buddha warned this guy, you go back and tell your master, this life, if he do it one more time, he will go down to Avijja hell. He will not. Because that, don't know how many rebirths to be King Sakha, was the karma of another life. Where that time he was a monk, he got psychic. Then through his psychic, when he surveyed the world, he found 6 monks under severe climatic condition, almost died. He used his psychic to save them. Then King Sakha rejoiced. Then allow him to have that wish to take birth out there. That's how he got 6 opportunity to become King Sakha. So after he has done for 5 times, that disciple came and told Ananda. Ananda told the Buddha. The Buddha checked and told him, you go and tell your teacher. If he do it one more time, he will go down to eternal hell. Because that karma that ripened last time is from another good deed that he did. Yeah. So all this type of karmic thing, yeah. If let's say you got 6 opportunity to take birth as King Sakha. First time, Then after that you die. Second time, still this karma. No? Yeah, he don't have the five heavy karma. He don't have the habitual one. Yeah? Close proximity. So this one will take precedence. Until this one finish, then other karmic thing will take precedence. Or let's say that like he did something very severe, then immediately it can also take effect. Yeah, it depends. That's why karma is not easy to understand. It's very, very complex. Yeah. Even the Buddha at that time, he said, inconceivable is the beginning of the first thought of ignorance, that conditioned living being to take birth in samsara. And the earlier chapter where we go through is also mentioned. It's not easy to understand the law of karma. You need to be a great being to understand this law. Because law of karma has a lot of possibility, variation. Yeah. So it's not easy. Yeah. So what we have learned through the text is just some of the important point, aspect of karma. Okay? Yeah. Vincent? Okay, yeah? Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Any other question? Anybody got any other question? Don't have? Don't have, then we go to chapter 25. Yeah? Otherwise, like last week, we didn't even move one page. Okay, chapter 25. The wheel of life, Paticca Samuppada. So the opening statement from Visuddhi Magga, Magga is path, Visuddhi is purification. So this book, Visuddhi Magga, is actually a book written by Buddha Gosa. And this one, a lot of Burmese monks, I think they follow this book. They like this book. They call it the seven stages of purification, Sata Visuddhi. But this author, Buddha Gosa, is a Brahmin before he become a Buddhist. That's why a lot of his written teaching, or what he has written in this Visuddhi Magga, a lot actually belong to the Hindu teaching. He includes the jhana, the 40 meditation object, and all those things inside there. But his book is quite good. He can write very well, and his book is very thick now. I think about 4-5 inches thick now. And it's in a very good type of binding. So according to Visuddhi Magga, he said, no God, no Brahma can be found. No matter. How come the English is like that? No matter of this wheel of life. No God, no Brahma can be found. No matter of this wheel of life. Just bare phenomena. This one you remember, Mighty Nature Rolling By, my teacher Achayendra told me. That's why it's still on the whiteboard. So if it's Mighty Nature Rolling By, you have to develop the wisdom. That's why my teacher say we choose accept everything as natural. Then you always at peace. Then you will never complain. And acceptance is wisdom. So dependent on condition, they arise. Here the English, I think something wrong. Dependent on condition or. This type of English, maybe the literature type of English, I cannot understand. But the meaning is, I think, quite simple. No God, no Brahma can be found. Means there is no creator. There is no almighty. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising. So following nature's law, there's a bare phenomena rolling by. No matter of this wheel of life. Means the wheel of life is samsara. Okay, then we go on. The process of rebirth has been fully explained by the Buddha in the Paticca Samuppada. You know why they wrote this? Because they term the Paticca Samuppada as the three period of time, which is not that one. The real Paticca Samuppada is the instantaneous birth, every moment, every instant. And the birth inside the Paticca Samuppada is the birth of the consciousness, not into another form of mind. Okay, we read on. Paticca means because of or dependent upon. Samuppada means arising or origination. Although the literal meaning of the term is arising, because of, or dependent arising or origination, it is applied to the whole causal formula, which consists of 12 interdependent causes and effects. Technically called Paccaya and Paccaya Upana. The method of Paticca Samuppada should be understood as followed. Because of A arises B, because of B arises C. When there is no A, there is no B. When there is no B, there is no C. In other words, this being is like a pun. When this arise, this being, that arise. So here he used the English word more difficult to understand. This being, so that is. This not being, so that is not. Actually, a better English translation, when this arise, that arise. When this ceases, that ceases. So the Pali term I read to you, then you will understand. It must mean sati, idang hoti. It must mean asati, idang arhoti. You remember? I used to share this with you all. It must mean sati, means when this arise, that arise. You know the deep meaning behind that? It's not only the Paticca Samuppada alone, no. The deep meaning is, when you create this, that arise. Actually, duality. You understand? When you arise one word good, whatever that is not good, automatically come about, isn't it? That's how duality arises. You understand? When you say this is wrong, automatically the other one, opposite, will arise. Because whatever that is not wrong is right. So all these are duality. But when it comes to Paticca Samuppada, is like the Buddha said, it must mean sati idang hoti. So when this arises, that arise. What he is trying to tell you is everything in this universe is dependent originating. You understand? Like our sense door, our sixth sense door. The consciousness that arises is dependent originating. The content of consciousness that went in is also dependent originating. It depends on your brain, understand? Your accumulated experiences, good and bad. Then your conditioning, your views, your opinion, your belief system, your tradition and all those things. So this is the conditioned brain that identifies the form and mind. But this is not you, understand? Because the form and mind itself is already impermanent, not a permanent unchanging entity. That all this conditioning that you acquire while you go through life is just a bundle of memories, with his views, opinion, and conditioning. And from this, you act. That's why Krishnamurti say, acting according to memory is not acting at all. But you cannot act according to memory. Why? The memory is full of your experiences, good and bad. And what do you accumulate in your brain? All of your psychological memory, mostly. things that you remember, your good and bad time. And most of the time, you tend to accumulate all the bad memory. Why? Your fear, your phobia, because you held on to them. And it's so intense. Your insecurity, your anger, your hatred, your regret, and all those things. Of course, you also have memory of good moments when you are successful, when you are able to get something rewarding. So all these are part of memory. That all of your experiences, you have seen how people cheat you and how you yourself also cheat people, deceive people. So because of that, you have this insecurity. You scared people will cheat you, deceive you, like snatch thief, all those things. So that memory, when it's in there, accumulated, the moment you perceive something or hear sound or what, then that memory retrieve, recall, then you have fear because of the psychological memory. So this memory is for you to use to accumulate proper memory, not to accumulate all the rubbish, which is your psychological memory. Psychological memory of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Your psychological memory of insecurity, phobia, deep resentment, hatred, all these things. So, if you don't act according to memory, then how can you act? Did you ask yourself that question? How can you act? Yeah? You don't act according to memory, then you act according to what? Wisdom, understanding. That is what the Buddha's teaching is all about. And what is wisdom? Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path is the path that leads to the end of all suffering. Because Noble Eightfold Path is incapable of negativity. So when you have this Dhamma, only you can act according to wisdom. Without the Dhamma, you don't know the nature's law that governs life and existence. You don't even know the universal characteristic. That's why you deludedly grasp, cling, and hold to the five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that it is you, it is real. And the Buddha summarized all of suffering under the First Noble Truth as the self-delusion that conditions you to grasp and cling onto these five aggregates that he called dukkha. That's why the upadana khandas, the five grasping aggregates, is dukkha. And it's all in the teaching, very clear. So that's why if you understand what the Buddha is trying to teach you, then when you meditate, you should pay attention to that. You remember the second turning? You should inquire. Inquire what? Why did the Buddha say, when this arises, that arises? When this ceases, that ceases. So the paticca samuppada link is what? It starts with what? The first link is what? Avijja, ignorance. So when avijja arises, ignorance arises, the whole dependent origination link come to be, end up with suffering. So, if you want to reverse it, what must you do? You must straighten your view and root out avijja. Then when avijja is no more, the link cannot move, isn't it? Avijja paccaya sankara. Sankara cannot arise. Without sankara, where is consciousness? Avijja paccaya sankara. Sankara paccaya vijnana. Then without vijnana, how can you input the content to arise the five mental aggregate of form and mind, namarupang? Then without namarupang, there is no sense basis. That's why you cease to be. There is no more rebirth. That is what paticca samuppada is all about. That's why you have to inquire in your meditation when you are silent and aware. Why did the Buddha say when this arise, that arise? I check whether true or not. I silence everything. Then I realize there is nothing inside there. Everything is dependent originating. Like the fifth page of Toh Huining. It is so beautiful. It is so amazing. How amazing is it that self-nature is perfect by itself, complete by itself, and yet nothing is apart from the self nature. Everything arises from the self nature. That's why those who realize this will know this is the source of all things. This is your true nature, your original nature, your oneness nature. From here, everything arises. But this one is not a being. It's not an individual. It's not something that can come out to live life that you can call a me or a I. No. And the whole secret of Dhamma is just this, to awaken to this, that the form and mind is not real. Consciousness is not real. The aggregates of mind are not real. They are impermanent, lead to suffering, empty. That's why this nothingness and emptiness is a very powerful understanding. And it can only be realized by the wise, like the Buddha said, Pache Tang Veditapo Vinohiti. The wise means the awakened one. Otherwise you cannot realize it. Otherwise it becomes theory. So this is the part you have to pay attention. Then we read on. Paticca-samuppada is a discourse on the process of birth and death, and not a philosophical theory of the evolution of the world. It deals with the cause of death and suffering with a view to help people or men to get rid of the ill of life. It makes no attempt to solve the riddle of an absolute origin of life. It merely explains the simple happening of a state dependent on its antecedent state. Ignorant avijja of the truth of suffering means the Four Noble Truth, its cause, its end, and the way leading to its end is the chief cause that sets the wheel of life in motion. In other words, it is not knowingness of things as they truly are. So this one, the author also used wordly. I don't think he had the true understanding. Or of oneself as one really is. It clouds all right understanding. That is what avijja is. He defined all the negative part. Ignorance is the deep delusion wherein we hear so long are circling round. Means samsara, referring to samsara, says the Buddha. When ignorance is destroyed and turned into knowingness or wisdom, all causality is shattered, as in the case of the Buddha and Arahant. In the Ittivuttaka, the Buddha states, those who have destroyed delusion and broken through the dense darkness will wander no more. Causality exists no more for them, means no more rebirth. Ignorant of the past, future, both past and future, and the dependent origination is also regarded as avijja, ignorant. Dependent or ignorant arise conditioning activity. So here he calls sankara as conditioning activity. But this is not complete, not correct. Then he said, sankara is the multi-significant term which should be understood according to the context. Here, the term signifies immoral, akusala, or moral, kusala, and unshakable, aninja, volition, chetina, which constitute karma that produces rebirth. That's why he termed this as the rebirth consciousness, which is only one of the possibilities. So the first embraces all volition in the 12 types of immoral consciousness. The second, all volition of the 8 types of beautiful consciousness or moral consciousness. And the 5 types of moral form consciousness, rupajana. Then the third one is all volition of the 4 types of arupajana consciousness. Means the 31 plane of existence. Sankara as one of the five aggregates imply 50 of the 52 mental states, excluding feeling and perception. That's why I told you all, Sankara has 52 if you include perception and feeling. So perception, feeling, and Sankara, they are one. That's why the content of consciousness is just Sankara. Everything that your mind can do is Sankara. That's why the Buddha used the word Sankara. He never say Sankara, Vedana, and Sanya. Yeah. He just used one word, Sankara. Yeah, that is the content of consciousness. And consciousness itself, Vijnana, is the receptacle, like the container that contains the content. Yeah. Means the pure consciousness or pure awareness. There is no proper English equivalent which can give the exact connotation of this Pali term, which is correct. The volition of the four supramundane path consciousness, locutora, magacitta, means for the enlightened being, the eight pairs of enlightened being, are not regarded as sankhara because they tend to eradicate ignorance. So wisdom or panya is predominant in the supramundane type of consciousness, while volition, chetana, is predominant the mundane type of consciousness. Yeah. So this one, supramundane, is without the content. Without the negativity of consciousness. Yeah. Means no akusala and all those things. All moral and immoral thoughts, words, and deeds are included in sankhara. Actions, whether good or bad, which are directly rooted in or indirectly tainted with ignorance, and which must necessarily produce their due effect, tend to prolong wandering in samsara. Nevertheless, good deeds free from greed, hatred, and delusion are necessary to get rid of the ill of life. According to the Buddha, compare his Dhamma to a raft, whereby one crosses the ocean of life. The activities of Buddha and Arahant, however, are not treated as sankhara, as they have eradicated ignorance. Ignorance is predominant in immoral activities, while it is latent in moral activity. Hence, both moral and immoral activity are regarded as cause of ignorance. Dependent on past conditioning activities arises. Here he used the second link as what? Relinking or rebirth consciousness. They call it Patisandhi Vijnanam in a subsequent birth. So this is one life. Means immediately after you die ignorant, then it condition rebirth consciousness. It is so called because it links the past with the present and is the initial consciousness one experiences at the moment of conception. So he say you are born. Vijnana strictly denotes the 19th type of rebirth consciousness, Patisandhi Vijnana. So he say this one is the rebirth consciousness. Yeah. Sankara, he say, is karmic activity. Yeah. Means ignorant condition karmic activity or karmic volition. So because of karmic volition at the moment of death, you have ignorant, you condition rebirth consciousness. All the 32 type of resultant consciousness, vipaka citta, experience during lifetime are also implied by this term. So the fetus in the mother's womb is formed by a combination of this relinking consciousness with the sperm and ovum cell of the parent. In this consciousness are latent all the past imprint or impression characteristics and tendency of that particular individual life flux. Actually, it's the karmic DNA and all those things. Yeah. It is your karmic content that goes in. The rebirth consciousness is regarded as pure, as it is either devoid of immoral root of lust, hatred, and delusion, or accompanied by moral roots. Simultaneously with the arising of the relinking consciousness, there occur mind and matter. He said, because of that, the first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind arise, Namarupa, as a human being. Or as some scholars prefer to say, the corporal organism. So this one explains it over the three period of time, which is of not much use. That's why in the early days, when I developed the meditation, I realized Paticca Samuppada is not like that. If once in a three lifetime, only you have one experience, you learn it for one. No use, is it? Over three period of time, only it happened once. So it can be a theory, but it will not help you to understand life. But the instantaneous one, every moment of sense experience, the Paticca Samuppada, and that is relevant. But the book cannot explain, because they got no way of explaining it without going through the three period of time, where they cannot understand the consciousness. They cannot understand that the brain is one of the sense bases. Brain and consciousness combine become the mind door. So when there is contact, when you think, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara is actually mental activity, mental thinking, not necessarily karmic consciousness or karmic volition. When you start to think, you make contact in the mind, understand? When you make contact in the mind, it's just like your hearing consciousness or your seeing consciousness. Then the mind create a mind consciousness. That's why the mind become conscious. That's why there is mind consciousness. So vijnana is mind consciousness, but before the content goes in. So when you have stability of mindfulness, you can see this very clearly. Then after that, very fast, the content of consciousness go in because of your brain's conditioning, your views, your opinion, your habitual tendency. So very fast it goes in. That's how vijnanam paccaya namarupam. Then dependent on this namarupam, which is the mental five aggregates, second aspect, the Buddha say it must have sense basis. Without sense basis, it cannot trigger off this mental consciousness together with its content, which is the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind, the five mental aggregates of form and mind, namarupam. So this one is very clear. Because they don't understand that aspect, that's why they cannot link, they cannot explain, and they use the three period of time. Now might we just go through it quickly. The compound nama rupa should be understood as nama is the mind alone, rupang is the matter alone, and nama rupang is the form and mind together. In the case of the formless plane, arupa, there exists only mind. In the case of the mindless, asanya, this one is there is a plane where there is no mind. Only matter exists. In the case of sentient rhyme, Kamaloka and the Rupaloka, both form and mind are there. Nama here means the three aggregates of feeling, perception, and sankhara that arises simultaneously with the relinking consciousness. Rupa means the three decade. The three decade is what they call your kaya, is the first decade, the body. Then bhava is your sex, male or female. And vatu, seat of consciousness. So these are the three decade. They will take shape and arise. That also arises simultaneously with the relinking consciousness or rebirth consciousness, conditioned by past karma. So according to this, the seed of consciousness there means the pulse of life come in. But actual one is not immediate. When the sperm and ovum, when the mating, the consciousness is not there yet, because the cells hasn't subdivided. It's only after the cells subdivide, then when the organs are formed, then at the appropriate time, only the consciousness come in. Then it starts to pump the fetus heart. The body Descartes is composed of the four elements. So namely, Pathavi, Apo, Tejo and Vayu, the four elements. Earth element, water element, fire element and wind element. Then you also have the four derivatives. Upada rupa, namely color, odor, taste, nutritive essence and vitality. Vitality, this one is JV Indriya, and the last one is the Kaya. That's why all this subdivision will take place. Then the sex decay and base decay also consists of the first nine and sex bhava and the seed of consciousness respectively. From this, it is evident that sex is determined by past karma at the very inception of the being. Here, kaya means the sensitive part of the body. That's why they call it pasada. Sex is not developed at the moment of conception, see, they also know. But the potentiality is latent. Neither the heart nor the brain, the supposed seed of consciousness, has been evolved at the moment of conception. The author also know. But the potentiality of the seed is latent. In this connection, it should be remarked that the Buddha did not definitely assign a specific seed of consciousness as he has done with the other senses. It was the Kadaite theory, the view that the heart is a seed of consciousness, that prevailed in his time. And this was evidently supported by the Upanishad. You know where is Upanishad? The one of the most famous Hindu teaching. They call it the Upanishad. The Buddha could have accepted the popular theory, but he did not commit himself. In the Patana, the book of relationship, the Buddha refers to the seed of consciousness in such indirect term as yang rupang nisya, depending on that material thing without positively asserting whether that rupang was either the heart, hadaya, or the brain. But according to the view of commentary like Venerable Buddhaghosa and Anuruddha, the seed of consciousness is definitely the heart. It should be understood that the Buddha neither accept nor reject the popular Kadaite theory. During the embryonic period, the six sense bases Salayatana gradually evolved. From this psychophysical phenomena in which are latent infinite potentiality, the insignificant, infinitesimally small speck now develops into a complex six-sense machine, means the six-sense dog. Human machine is very simple in its beginning, but very complex towards the end. Ordinary machine, on the other hand, are complex at the beginning, but very simple in the end. The force of a finger is sufficient to operate even the most gigantic machine. The sixth sense human machine now operates almost mechanically without any agent like a soul to act as the operator. All the sixth sense, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and mind, have their respective object and function. The sixth sense object are these are the sense data, such as form, sound, odor, shapes, tangibles, and mental objects collides with their respective sense organ, giving rise to a six type of respective consciousness. The conjunction of the sense basis, sense object, and the resultant consciousness is called contact, pasat, which is purely subjective and impersonal. So this one is to explain to you that it's Nietzsche's law. There is nobody inside. Yeah. Everything is dependent, originating, condition, arising, cause of phenomenon. Okay, we can stop here. We can stop here. But before I end, I would like to explain one more part. You remember just now they mentioned, they said the Buddha is silent on where the seat of consciousness is. Most of them take it to be at the heart. Then he says, some say at the brain. What do you think? What do you think? You meditate, you will know where the source of life is. That's why in the book that I think I have to edit it some more, because Chui has a lot of very good comments. So I have to take into account what she said. Because there are certain editorial formality that you have to follow for basic good English to be followed. So we had to actually tidy up a lot of things. I am starting to do it. He just sent to me yesterday. So today I did the first part, the form in mind. Then I will go back and do the review and audit for the heart and the mind. Understanding the heart and the mind. So understanding the heart and the mind, I make it very clear where the seat of consciousness is. Well, if you can silence your mind and develop the meditation, you will know where it arises. There is a gateway inside. Then your heartbeat, where the pulse of life is, you will know that one comes from nature. That one is not inbuilt. Your pump cannot, your heart cannot pump by itself. That one comes from your life force, your karmic force, the karmic energy. That's why that is where the seat of consciousness is. Then your consciousness can go to any of the organ. It can go to the brain and trigger of thought. That's why they don't understand. And they think the mind is at the brain. Everybody think from there. So you always think the mind is at the brain. I remember in 1975 when I first met Chief Reverend Dakesi Damananda, I told you the first day I went to the science faculty, a friend, a colleague took me there, and he spoke beautiful English. Then as he speak the Dhamma, very scientific Dhamma, he pointed to the forehead here, the brain here, said, look into your mind. So that time I didn't know anything. I thought that is where the mind is. So when I sat down and meditated that night, I look inside. How to look inside? How to look inside your brain? He never asked me that. I also don't know. He pointed the hand here. So I also thought the mind is here. Actually, I put my consciousness up there. Understand? That's why later I understand. But when I close my eye, that consciousness can see inside. I saw all blank. Then suddenly one bright spot came out. And because that time I know how to focus, I very good at study, I can concentrate very well on. I can read books that I like. I don't need to sleep on. So my mind is already developed. Then I saw that bright spot. Then I can just go there. I've got no sound inside there. Say that. Then I become so quiet, so calm. So I tell myself, he said, look inside. So I look inside, I found this bright light. So I went there. And because I can concentrate, I stay there. Then I got nothing to do, you know what I did? I give it a push. I have the energy to push that bright spot. Then my mind starts to travel out into infinite space. Infinite space. Then as it go out, it's like a spaceship, you know, let it go out. Yeah. Of course, not the size of a spaceship, because I saw how the mind, the like shift of, like suddenly went into another dimension, you know. Went into another dimension, no? Not of our existential consciousness dimension. It went into another dimension. They call it the formless arupa. So it's like this mind travel, no? Like a spaceship, like that travel into infinite space. Then as it move, to me it's short moment only, no? Then I decide to come out. The moment I come out, I thought half an hour. I look at my watch, 4 a.m. Means I've been sitting there 4 hours. I never meditated before. I don't know how to meditate. And first experience, I went in 4 hours. And my mind was so still, so calm. Completely blank. But that is a conditioned state. The formless jhana, I went in. And because of that, I was so calm and so still and so peaceful the whole heart here for about 4 or 5 days. Then I told myself, that is real meditation. I never meditated before. First time my mind was so still, so calm. And I experienced that type of stillness, that joy, that bliss, the pity, the sukha, everything. So all this just happened. If it's not from my past, how can it happen? But coming back to the important question, the seat of consciousness is definitely at the heart, if you know. And I remember Kesari Dhammananda mentioned in one of the Dhammapada verse, I forgot which verse already, he mentioned the seat of consciousness. He said this seat of consciousness is inside a cavity. Then something like Durang Gamang and something. It come and it go very fast, he said. But it's in a cavity. So according to Kesari Dhammananda Acharya, he said, the cavity must be at the heart, he said. Yeah, otherwise, in the human body, there is no cavity. So because of that, they conclude it's in the heart. But for me, no need to conclude. You meditate, you silent, you will know where the life force come. How that nature can be assessed, where the gateway is. Yeah. So all this you can know through meditative experience and understanding. Okay, we better end. I heard the alarm just now. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So at least today we cover quite a number of pages. We are at page 426. Okay, let us do the sharing of merits, transfer of merit, then we end. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana itta watta jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu Sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the holy ones. Let me end.